Regular Joe here with great news. MyPillow's biggest bed sheet sale ever continues. Right now, you can get MyPillow's breathable, cool, crisp feeling to the touch per count sheets at the lowest price ever with promo code REGULARJOE. You could get them for as low as $29.99. With promo code REGULARJOE, they've got a size that fits every bed and a great selection of colors, so order now while supplies last. Percal sheets have the deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to want to go to MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE and put in promo code REGULARJOE to get the lowest price ever, not only on their Percal sheets, but also on the Giza Dream Sheets as well. Two great options. This sale won't go on forever, so order now while you can still get them in your favorite colors in stock. Remember, use promo code REGULARJOE at MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE. Giganti, your regular Joe here with you on this Monday. As I said, joining me in studio, our first time meeting, Judge Jennifer Duro, who is a judge in the state of Wisconsin seeking a position on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. You'll be my guest here on the VIP Backstage Soundcheck podcast that we'll record after the show today. Appreciate you coming in studio for the first time here and giving us a chance to tell people about you and what you're doing.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting to be in studio with you, Joe.
It's my pleasure. Now, we've got a shorter segment here, but I want to kind of start the basics. You've been a judge for a little bit of time now. People obviously know you from the Darrell Brooks case, but you were on the bench before that. So tell us about kind of how you got started, what your background is, and I always say if you're knocking on a door, why somebody should vote for you in the Supreme Court race.
Well, as you said, I've been a judge for 11 years. I was appointed by Scott Walker in 2011, and then I've been elected to that seat twice now. I'm currently serving my second six-year term, and I'm running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court because this election could not be more important. And I know the issues that face the state of Wisconsin are important to your viewers, and there's a stark difference between the candidates on the left and the candidates on the right running for this position. And I'm here to tell your viewers they should vote for me because, number one, I understand where my lane is as a jurist, and that is to follow the law as written, not my will, not Jennifer's constitution, but follow the law as written and apply that law to the facts of every case that comes before me, every decision, every time. I will not legislate from the bench, but that's exactly what folks on the other side with a different judicial philosophy want to do. And it's wrong. It is affront to our democracy, and frankly would lead to anything but the rule of law being followed here in the state of Wisconsin. I also think your listeners should vote for me because I am law enforcement's choice for this position. I now have 39 bipartisan sheriffs who are supporting me. I have the Milwaukee Police Association, the Waukesha County Police Chiefs Association. I have the endorsement of Justice Pat Rogensack. This is the seat she held that we are all seeking, along with many others. And I want to bring my commitment to be fair and impartial, to follow the rule of law, and my dedication to public service and the citizens of Wisconsin to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
That's now let me ask you, if I can, on so, what matter of fact, we're getting text messages here, people asking some questions. And I know that when you're running for an office like Supreme Court, I can't ask about a specific case and that kind of a thing. But one of the big decisions that obviously won't come to you because it was the Supreme Court of the United States, but the Dobbs decision came. It looked at the sitting decision, wasn't law, because, of course, the courts don't make law. They just decide on decisions. Do you think Dobbs was correctly decided in the sense that it basically went back and said that Roe was poorly decided and this is a matter for the states to decide upon?
I think it's really important for justices to have courage and to be able to look back at prior decisions, especially for a U.S. Supreme Court, and say our prior decisions got it wrong, and they got it wrong because they didn't honor the law as written and understood when it was enacted. And so I do agree with the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court to send the issue of abortion to the states, for each state to decide what the policy of that state should be.
Now, on, and again, I'm trying to, because I have several questions, people asking about this particular piece. We were talking about abortion in general earlier in the show, so that's, I think, where people's minds are now. With the state of Wisconsin, there is an, as is the case, I think, in 26 states altogether that had existing laws on the books if this kind of, you know, Dobbs decision happened, where it basically said that, that the law of the state is X, Y, and Z, usually something where it limited or banned abortion. That's the case in the state of Wisconsin. One of the arguments that's being made from the left on this is, well, it's an old law. Therefore, somehow, I guess it's as though there's an expiration date. And I guess my question would be, is that a legitimate legal argument that, well, it's an old law, therefore it probably isn't right?
There's a subsequent law that was passed in the state of Wisconsin that, as I understand, the lawsuit is what the challenge is, that it's this more recent law that should take priority. So here's the thing. I take my oath as a judge very seriously, and I don't ever want to prejudge a case, because I think the litigants should have not only an expectation but a demand that the court official hasn't prejudged the case and really made a decision before the case has begun. This is no different. This is actually a live case in a circuit court in Wisconsin, and I need to honor my obligation to not prejudging cases. I know that can be a little bit of frustration for people.
And that's why I tried to ask, just in general, whether it's this, is the age of, I mean, is there an expiration date on a law?
There is not an expiration date, unless I guess the legislature gives date, but, which they do on occasion. But
yes, sunsetting a law. But I mean, barring that, age of a law is not just, it's not your basis of, you don't look at the age of a law because, I mean, it's the law. I mean, the whole idea is it's transcendent. Now, cash bail is a big issue here, well, all over the country. I mean, the Darrell Brooks case, certainly that played into that particular situation. We've seen it. I think Illinois has now banned cash bail. There is a recent vote in the state legislature. You issued a statement supporting this. One thing, and we've got about a minute here, most people, I don't think, realize that when it comes to setting bail, it's not based on the severity of the crime, at least now. It's based on flight risk, right? And that they're seeking to change that, and this is something you, well, I don't want to put word. How do you, they're trying to change that, and do you think it's good or bad? I'll ask it that way.
I think the change is much overdue. You are correct that the Wisconsin Constitution and the statutes on bail limit cash bail right now to whether someone will appear in court or not. So they're flight risk. And this amendment is a good start. It gives judges like me the ability to, or will give us the ability to, consider the seriousness of the offense, the danger this person presents on top of their flight risk. And the bottom line is dangerous people need to be held pre-trial, period.
Excellent. Go to judgejennifer.com to learn more. She'll be our special guest on today's VIP Backstage Soundcheck podcast. Check it out.
Is the Regular Joe Radio Show.